You're a little older and a lot wiser. The future is yours. Define aging on your own terms. Welcome to AARP Without Limits with your host, Mike Olander.
Hello and welcome. This is AARP Without Limits, WPTF Talk Radio. We are disrupting aging with the power of 50,000 watts. And our podcast, available anytime, on demand, at WPTF.com or through our Facebook, AARP North Carolina. I'm your host, Mike Olander of AARP North Carolina, and we've got a great program for you today, folks. Entertainer for the ages, Mr. David Gwilt, is back with us. This time, we'll be discussing how David discovered acting in community theater as he embraces aging. But first, ladies and gentlemen, as always, almost always, we are joined here in the studio with my partner in crime, our esteemed production engineer, Mr. Jason Kong. Jason, back from vacation. Good to see you, buddy.
Good to see you too, Mike. Special thanks to Jeff Hamlin for holding down the fort while I was away. Sounds like you guys had a fun time last week.
We did. We had a little party going on in here of sorts. A little different from our time with you, Jason. But I have to ask, Jason, how was your time out? I know you and your family were out for spring break.
We were out. Yes, we went out west a little bit to Colorado. It was a fun time. Always an experience when you've got three young ones traveling. But we survived. We survived. We made it back. So that's a win in my book.
Excellent. It certainly sounds like it was. And I was so sorry to have disturbed you. Folks, just so you know, Jason never stops working. And I tested that theory a little bit while he was out. I had to send him a couple of texts about something to do with the show. A thousand apologies for that, Jason. But you do look a little bit rested. So that's good.
Well, I appreciate that. And no, it was no problem at all. With the time difference, it was no problem to me. So I appreciate the fact that you reached out to me, and I'm glad that everything went smooth last week.
Oh, it did. And I guess you gained an hour going out west there. So that's good. A little less strapped for time like you normally are. Speaking of time, I had quite a time experiencing something we've talked a little bit about, Jason, and going to have to indulge the audience a little bit on this. I'm sure everyone is really fatigued about hearing about the Great American Eclipse. But you're going to just, folks, have to bear with me one moment. You too, Jason. One final moment to talk about this before we turn the page. And I promise this won't be coming up for another 20 years or so. So hopefully folks can get an understanding of that. I saw the total solar eclipse, Great American Eclipse, back in 2017. My family and I went down to Greenville, North Carolina, South Carolina, and it was quite an experience for me. It was way more dramatic than I ever imagined. And so when I learned right after that the next one was going to be another Great American Eclipse coming across the country in 2024, I had already started planning and wondering where it was going to be and what the game plan was, what city I was going to go to and who I was going to be with and how everything was going to wind up working out. And I have to say, Jason, one of the bits of advice I gave, we spoke a while ago on this program a little bit about the eclipse, and one bit of advice I gave for our listeners was don't nail yourself down any plans until really the last minute, because, you know, the eclipse, it's all about science and timing, right? And there's all this stuff that is completely out of our control. You know, when the total solar eclipse happens, where it happens, how much time is available, and all of that. One thing you can control is what site you're going to go to when it comes. And part of that means monitoring the weather and minimizing your chances of cloud cover. And I saw some people making great plans going to places like Niagara Falls, where you could possibly see a total solar eclipse. And it was completely cloudy there. I felt so bad for those folks who were there, who got to witness some darkness, but did not get to see the glory that is the corona of our sun. I, Jason, wound up going up to Lake Champlain, New York, right across from Vermont, just north enough to have clear skies. And it was absolutely amazing. And I have to say, for some people, the I know there are a lot of people who think, oh, you know, it's just an eclipse, or I was in an area with partial eclipse, I saw 95%, so that's pretty much the same thing, right? No, it's not, folks. And if any of you, those of you who are listening who have witnessed a total solar eclipse, know, you know, there's literally the difference between totality and anything less than that is literally night and day, because it literally turns night when a total solar eclipse is going on and you're in the path of totality. And the connection that some people have, including myself, just to the universe that we live in is really, really significant and emotional for some people. And I have to say, Jason, you know, it's really the timing, speaking of timing again, having David on our show today is really, really great, because we're going to be talking to David about something that's he's gotten excited about as he's been aging, something he's discovered. And, you know, when I've discovered as I'm getting close to 50, you know, Jason, it's really hard, I think, once you're past 40 to get excited about certain things. You know, when you're a young person, you're experiencing life for the first time. Obviously, things like Christmas and your birthday are the most important things in the world. And then, you know, first day of school and, you know, summer break and going on trips and things like that. And, you know, you start dating and, you know, your favorite movies and, you know, this stuff you get excited about. And as you get older, you do get jaded because you've kind of seen a lot already. And when you find something that really energizes you or that inspires you, or in the case of the total solar eclipse, just leaves you in awe, those moments are really, really special, and those opportunities are really, really special. And with respect to the eclipse, folks have got 20 years if you want to see another one here in the United States. But in the meantime, you know, there are other things that you can do to find inspiration and excitement. And that includes doing things that you've never done before, exploring opportunities for the first time. And that being said, I'm really glad to have back on our program a friend of the show here, AARP Without Limits, the entertainer for the ages, Mr. David Gwilt. David, welcome back to the show, my friend.
Thank you, Michael. Good to be with you and Jason again today.
David, following you a bit on Facebook over the years, I took particular interest in some posts that you were making about acting and taking part in community theater. Before we get into the specifics of acting and theater, can you please give us some context to what phase of life you were in and what your headspace was like that led you to want to explore new things to try, such as community theater?
I don't know if we want to get into my headspace, Michael, but but I was in my late 50s and I was working. You know, life takes funny turns. I was working for a real estate company doing marketing. Picked up the newspaper one day here in Charlotte, saw an article about an AM radio station starting up that was going to be a talk show, a talk station. Decided I wanted to do a real estate talk show. Why? I don't know. I just said, you know, what is something I want to do? So I did that for 6 months with a friend of mine. And then I got the radio bug, decided I wanted to do a radio program. And I was going to do one on senior issues. And at 59, I think, I went back to school, to grad school at UNC Charlotte. Got a graduate degree in gerontology, you know, the study of aging. And wanted to put a radio show on. Came up with Radio for the Ages for a name. Started soliciting backers, financial backers for the show. Of course, I had nothing to show them, just a promise that it would be good. Did that for 4+ years. And while I was doing that, I was asked to start doing public speaking on whatever was of interest to me, and started talking about, you know, my PLEASE acronym that I created, prayer, laughter, exercise, attitude, service, and the E for every day. And then said, while I'm doing all this, why don't I take an acting class? And so I took an acting class for 55 plus, almost quit the first day, frankly, but, finally fell in love with it, got into doing that. And so now, you know, I did forget. I did a Without Limits radio program with you, Michael, here in Charlotte for a year on WBT. Mm-hmm. But so now I do community theater and public speaking, and someday maybe I'll do a radio show again.
Now,
but it really was just I just decided, you know what, I'm almost 60 years old. A lot of things I haven't done. I'm going to try to do some different things.
David, you said a moment ago that you took this acting class and you almost quit the first day. Well,
yes.
What was that about? Tell me about that, because I have a little experience, something similar myself with public speaking.
Well, okay. So when I was in high school, I, you know, was an athlete in high school, and I was comfortable on the sports fields, and not uncomfortable doing that in front of obviously a group of people. But when I joined the drama club, but I was afraid to go on stage and try to act because I thought I wasn't comfortable with myself. I didn't have the confidence that people will laugh at me. Playing football, I was confident on stage. No, so I pulled the curtains and stuff. So now I'm in my late 50s going, you know what? If you don't do this, you're going to wish you had. And so I took an acting class the very first day. The director was like, okay, reach up to the sky and pull down the energy and all this laughter. And boy, that was out of my comfort zone. Because, you know, we all have an idea of who we are and our ego and our image. And it was like, okay, that's not my image. And so I wasn't sure. I went home that night, had to think about whether I wanted to do it or not. Decided to go back the next day and try it again, and then fell in love with it. So that's how that started.
Wow, that's really interesting. Fun fact here for me, David, I took a public speaking class in college as a requirement, a communications requirement for my degree. And I got up to give my first little speech in front of the class, and I literally got like three words out and said out loud, I can't do this, and started to walk away from the podium. And literally I felt like something pushed me right back to the podium, and I fought my way through it. And I wound up being really, really, really great at it. And I tell you, I would not be doing what I'm doing right now with AARP and my career overall for the last 25 years had it not been for that experience. When we come back, folks, we're going to continue our conversation with David Gwilt. This is AARP Without Limits. We'll be right back. And we are back. This is AARP Without Limits. Just a reminder, folks, we always love to hear from you. If you have a suggestion for a future guest or topic, if you have a comment you'd like to share, please send us an email to aarpwithoutlimits@aarp.org. We've been speaking today with our friend, Mr. David Gwilt, about how he got involved, not just in doing radio some years ago, but also acting in community theater. And David, you had mentioned right before the break that you had done some, I think back in college, you said some acting, was that right? And then you back in your 50s, took this class and so forth. Now, when it comes to actually, you know, beyond the class, actually getting involved in community theater like you are now, how did you get started? What were the first steps that you took, and was it hard for you to get started?
Well, I took that acting class, as I mentioned, and we did some improv and some skits. And if you want to laugh, you can actually go to, I have a YouTube channel, go to davidagwilt.com, and I did a mime of Mick Jagger doing Satisfaction on stage right after a Carol Burnett, Harvey Korman skit we did. So, my kids begged me to take that down, Michael, but I refuse. After that, what I did, I mean, if you Google in your community, if you Google community theater, you'll find all kinds of places that are putting on plays, and they always advertise their auditions, and you just go show up. Which is what I did. I just went and showed up for an audition. You've got to be, you have to be, I don't know if the word is brave or carefree or whatever it is, but to get up on stage and they give you a book, you know, the script and to read a few lines from it. And it's like, it's no big deal if they don't pick you. You just keep trying, and eventually you'll get a role, whether it's a small one or a big one. And as they say, there's no small roles, just small actors. So no matter the size of the role, you can put a lot into it. And you'll get picked for a role, and then you learn. I mean, it really is learning as you go. Mm. I mean, or you could take professional acting classes, but, you know, I think that's probably only for people that really want to make a profession out of it rather than just have a good time.
During the commercial break, David, you were sharing with Jason and I about feedback that you got when you first did your first show. What was that like?
Well, I did. I auditioned for a play called Love Letters. And if you've, you know, any of the audience has ever seen that, usually it's just a man and a woman sit at a table and they read from a script. Well, this, we had a real, we had a set, but I stood on stage with this woman and you can't look at each other. And if you've never seen Love Letters, it's pretty moving. But the story is I auditioned and they said, okay, we want you to read this part as a 6-year-old boy. I'm like, okay, so I don't know what I was, 60. I'm like, all right, I'm going to read this as a 6-year-old boy. So I tried to imagine myself as a 6-year-old boy, you know, raise my voice a bit and the speech pattern was different and read it. And I got the part and I was shocked because I hadn't done hardly anything. And then we did the play. We did a few weekends of it. And afterwards, some people that had gone, you know, they go to theater a lot, came up and said, wow, you were really good. And I was shocked. I mean, I really was, it just caught me off guard. And then I really got hooked. I thought, okay, if this, some of these people that have been to plays think I have any talent at all, then I need to keep going with this. So it's so much fun.
It gave you some confidence. Now, theater,
absolutely.
Now, theater actor is something obviously that's done live and, you know, you can rehearse it a million times, but when you're on that stage, you need to be on. So what that gives you a rush, I'm sure.
Yes.
What do you find rewarding in challenging yourself like that?
I guess you got to be a little crazy, truthfully, to want to do it because, yeah, there's no do-over. You know, you watch a TV show or a movie and they keep doing it till they get it right and the director likes it. You know, when you're on stage, there is no do-over. The one thing that I've found is the actors that you're with are usually very wonderful people and they will give you a clue. I mean, you actually play off their line. There are key lines that, you know, you pick up a key word they say and that kicks your brain into what comes next. But the actors that you work with usually will help you. If you freeze, as you say you did, Michael, when you tried to do the public speaking at first, they will feed you a line. They will ask a question that will kind of kick your brain into what you're supposed to say next. But there's an adrenaline rush. And I'm nervous before every scene, every play. And it's you take a deep breath and you just go out there. I can remember rehearsing for plays the night before. I didn't know some of the lines, but the opening night, I nailed everything. So, but you're walking a tightrope. Yeah.
So
the audience is forgiving. It's community theater, you know. Mm-hmm. They don't expect you to be professional, so.
Right. It's not quite Broadway.
Way off Broadway, Michael.
Now, what's your preparation process like when you're preparing for a role, learning lines and such?
Well, we have rehearsals that we do, but I do a lot of rehearsal at home and I'll even set up furniture around where the furniture would be on the set. I use an app that's called Off Book, where you can record your lines in. And then they'll feed them back to you to see if you remember them as you're going through. But a lot of self-rehearsal, getting someone to read lines, no matter whether it's an actor, another actor or not, just to see if you remember them. But a lot of it for me is actually setting up a room where my positioning, where I have to be at different lines when I'm delivering, moving around the stage, are pretty similar to what it's really going to be. So the physical action as well as the words come into play and the emotion. Yeah, you have to have the emotion when you're rehearsing. I just did a play where I was a Swedish bookkeeper and I had to learn. I learned my lines with a Swedish accent. That's the only way to do it. Rather than learn them in English and then try to put the accent in, I would rehearse it with the Swedish accent. So it's a lot of prep. An awful lot of work goes into community theater that people that show up maybe don't realize. There's a lot of where you really have to be dedicated and fall in love with it. So.
Now, David, you're obviously not a teenager anymore doing this. You're an older adult. And what is the relationship like between you drawing on experience and putting that into the role?
Oh, I think that's huge. I mean, I really do. There are some young folks that I act with that are just super talented, and I can see they're going to have a wonderful career. I think the biggest role I played was a character called Sergeant Ruff in a show called Angel Street, which was based on a 1940s movie called Gaslight, which was a real dramatic piece. But, you know, it was like the director said, play it like Columbo. Well, you know, I remember Columbo. I watched a lot of Peter Falk in Columbo. So I had that, where a lot of younger folks may not have that. But just the life experience of having been through good times and bad times and happy and sad times and being able to bring that emotion that's real natural to the character rather than try to create it. It's something that you already have inside you, I think, when you've got some years behind you.
Hmm. Well, community theater is something that I've always found interesting, and I definitely see myself trying it out at some point. But I'm not sure exactly how to get started. You mentioned just Googling community theater and just showing up. It's really just as simple as that?
Yeah, it's as simple as that. Yeah. Google community theater. Check out the auditions. You're probably going to find several community theater operations in your community and see when auditions are. And I'd always, like, if it says, okay, auditions are for example, the play I mentioned, Angel Street, I would look it up to read some of the character stuff to see if I had a feel for any of those characters. Like musicals, I won't audition for because I don't sing. Mm. But then just showing up during the audition time, there's really no preparation. They'll give you the script book and say, we want you to read these lines, and this is the character you're supposed to be. And you just try it and see how you do. I mean, you really have to be willing to put yourself out there, though.
Mm.
You know, and it's like, but you know, babies don't walk successfully the first time. They keep falling down.
Mm.
So you try it and you get a little better and a little better. And eventually you're walking and you can start to run someday. And yeah, I think, you know, if you're not afraid to get out in front of a group of people, but when you're on stage, there is no audience. You're just there in your little acting family. That's really what it is. You're totally in character.
Well,
so yeah, try it, Michael. You'll like it.
Well, this is fascinating, and I hope our listeners, those who are interested, also feel the nudge to dip their toe into that water. Like I mentioned at the beginning of the show, looking at things like a total solar eclipse is you know, most people don't get to experience that in their lifetime. You do get to see it a couple of times. That's great, but you can't count on it. You know, you need to be interested in life and what's going on around you. You've got to seize opportunities, stretch yourself, stretch your boundaries, and surprise yourself with maybe talents and things that you didn't know that you had, regardless of what your age you are. And so, David, it's been a pleasure speaking with you once again. As we wrap up here, David, what's your website so folks can check your stuff out again?
It's pretty simple, davidagwilt.com. That's spelled G-W-I-L-T. Thanks a lot, Michael.
Perfect. Thank you, David, for being with us once again on ARP Without Limits. Thank you to Jason Kung for production. Thank you for listening. This has been AARP Without Limits. I'm Mike Olander with AARP North Carolina. We'll see you next time.